when something leaps out at you. Sometimes if you ever preach, you know what I'm talking about. I think it just leaps out at you, and you know that that's your topic for the week. You know that that's what it is, and it went a different route than his went, but I got it from him, and he was talking about the lions and the lion's den, and how Daniel was down there, and he prayed because he knew that he would need God more than he would need man, and he was right because man betrayed him. But he was down there in that den, and he said he talked for a minute like he was Daniel, and he said he just pulled him up a lion and used him for a pillow, and the lion wasn't even hungry because God made a way for him. But he didn't make a way for the next folks to come down the pit, because the next morning they came out and pulled Daniel out, and they threw not only the accusers of Daniel in the pit, but they also threw their families in, and the Bible says that the lions broke them, they crushed them, and they ate them before they even hit the ground. So Daniel was in there using these lions for a pillow. They were keeping him warm. They were snuggle buddies. And the next folks that got thrown in the pit, they got hungry all of a sudden. We need God more than we need man, right? It just jumped out to me when he showed me this week. God showed me this week. My God made a way. My God made a way. I titled this message this week, My God Made a Way. My God always makes a way. With Daniel and the lion's den, the lions, and I told you what happened with that, but man set him up, and then they got their God fixed them up too. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was kind of, and I don't have a lot of scripture to give you this week. I'm going to talk to you about a lot of Bible stories that you all already know, right? I have one or two scriptures that we'll read, but mostly it's going to be about Bible stories that you already know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was kind of the same situation. They had passed a decree that no one could pray to another god for 30 days, and they began to call on the name of the Lord anyway. I think it was 30 days. But they began to, I read so many stories this week that I've got them kind of run together some. But they continue to pray anyway. Would they continue to press into God? No matter what it looks like, church, we need to continue to press into God, because my God, let me tell you, he'll make a way. He'll make a way no matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances look like. The king came up and they brought the furnace up seven times hotter than it normally was, and they threw him into this thing. And the king came up and said, "What, did we throw three men in the furnace? Why is there four now? One looks like the Son of God." Are you following me? God will make a way. God will always make a way. Look at Moses. Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's house. Now, I just read past that every time I've read this, but you think that was by some accident? That he was raised by the Pharaoh? Who else could walk into the Pharaoh's house and talk to the Pharaoh besides one of his stepchildren, someone that was raised in his household? When God called, God was setting up the pieces already when he was a baby. Because when God called on him to go talk to the Pharaoh for his people, if he would have just been a common man on the street, he wouldn't have been able to walk in front of the king and speak to the king. I'd overlook this every other time I read it. But God made a way for him to do that through what the king meant for his demise, right? God went ahead and made a way for him to bring his people out of captivity, because they changed their mind and they turned and started to serve God again, right? But he was raised in the Pharaoh's house. Think about all the plagues that happened in this situation. God will make a way. God made a way. Then when he brought them out of Egypt, what happened? They came to the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and the army was chasing them, right? And God made a way. He opened up the waters, right? Brought them up, and they walked through on dry ground, closed the waters back on top of the army. You all know these stories. Think about the manna. Think about the sheer mass of the manna and the sheer mass of the quail that God put out there just to feed them. God made a way. God, my God made a way through all these things. The whole Bible is full of stories about my God making a way. Now think about, this is the one I can't wrap my head around. A rock followed them around that gave them enough water for a couple million people to have cool water and their animals. Think about what this might have weighed. You couldn't have done it with a tanker. You couldn't have done it you would have had to have a fleet of tanker trucks. Yet this rock wasn't in one place where they had to go back to it. It followed them around. Think about how amazing that is. Because my God made a way. He made provision. He made a way for them, right? He made a cloud by day so they would be shaded. He made a fire by night so they could be warm and they could see. Because my God made a way. This is just one Bible story. The Bible's full of them. It's full of them. Think about Joseph. He was his daddy's favorite. His dad's favorite. So his brothers despised him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. So they made a plan one day that they were going to kill him. And one brother said, "Let's don't kill him. We'll throw him in this hole." And they had him in a hole. Then they decided they were going to sell him. You all know the story, right? Took his coat. They killed an animal and put the blood on the coat and brought it back to the dad and made it out like he was dead, like a wild animal got him. And he was sold into slavery into Egypt. Supposed to be in slavery. He came to rule the place. Because my God made a way. Even though the Pharaoh's wife lied on him and said that he made a pass at her and all these things happened, he became second in power to only the Pharaoh in all of Egypt. God already had a plan. He knew there was going to be a plague. He knew there was going to be a famine in the land. He knew it already. So when they came, he used this, what they intended for the bad, his brothers intended for bad, for what the slave traders intended for bad, they intended it for their profit. God used it to save his family, or to save his family, I mean to say. He saved his family. He provided for his whole family for generations because my God made a way. He made a way. Jonah, if you were at the youth rally this week, you heard Darren talk about this a little bit. I was at the same place that he was at when he got this information. So I'm going to use it a little bit too, right? But all words in the Bible, you all know the story of Jonah, all words in the Bible are either masculine or they're feminine, right? You can go study this out for yourself. But when it first starts talking about Jonah being in the belly of the whale, it was a masculine word. It was talking about the whale's stomach. He was in there with all the acids and things, and the acids were intended to destroy him. That's what they were created to do. Our stomach acids we have that breaks down food, and you can't live in our stomachs, right? It has a special line that holds in there. If you were to get some stomach acid, some healthy stomach acid on your skin outside of your stomach, it would eat a hole in it. That's why some people get ulcers and things, right? But Jonah was in there, and he was in the stomach of this whale, and it was intended to destroy him, and he turned, and he was running from God, and all the things, you all know the story. But when he turned to God, and he started to cry out to God, that word belly of the whale, if you study it in your Bible, turns to a feminine word. The feminine word for belly means a womb, right? He wasn't, because my God made a way, because my God made a way. He was in the womb, and you all know what the womb represents, right? It represents a new birth. It represents a new beginning, a new life. He was, and the whale took him and vomited him on the shore because my God made a way. Gideon had an army of 33,000 men. Think about it. The first time I remember hearing about Gideon in the Bible, he was hiding in the floor of where they trampled on the grapes in there, in the floor of a wine press, if you will. And he was hiding because of enemies that were coming into their nation. And the angel of the Lord came in and said, called him mighty warrior. And he said, oh no, I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not a mighty warrior, angel. I'm scared. And I'm hanging out down here. I'm going to hide. And he called him again, mighty warrior. And he did it a few times. And Gideon winds up with an army of 33,000 of fighting men, right? And they were going against an army that was much bigger. And God said, your army's too big, Gideon. Send some of them home. You all know the story. He said, anybody who's afraid, go on and go back home. And a good portion of them went back home. They were down to 10,000 or so then. And then he said, take them down the river. And anybody who drinks like a dog or anyone, you all know the story. He ended up with 300 men. Goes against this army of how much was it, brother? I thought it was 100 or 150,000. It was a huge army. 300 men come out here. And he says, they don't even take weapons. They go out there with a horn. And they have a pitcher. And a torch, right? A candle or whatever, if you will, for light. So they go out there, they surround this army. Y'all know the deal, right? Some of you might not, so I'm going to tell you the whole story. He said, when I tell you to, you blow on the horn, you break the pitcher. Can you imagine how intimidated that must have been? When I break this pitcher, they're going to wake up and they're going to come out here and slaughter us. There's 300. That must have been going through their mind. But my God made a way. Because when they broke the pitchers, they blew the horns. You all know what happened next, right? The 100 or 150,000, they were way outnumbered. Whatever the number was, it's unimportant. They turned on each other and began to kill each other. They wiped each other out. They didn't even have to do anything. Because my God made a way. All they had to do was show up and be obedient to God. Church, if we'll just show up and we'll be obedient to God, God will make a way. He'll make a way. He's already provided a way way back in the past sometimes. So there's things, you've seen that in Scripture today, right? With how he's laid things out in front of people. People have thought they had a plan to destroy them, or people thought they had a plan to end them. But you see what happens. God's got a plan if we'll just be obedient to him. If we'll begin to show up, right? Elijah got in trouble. And God had him go down and hang out by the creek. And ravens brought him food. That just don't happen in the natural. My God made a way. Right? He approached a widow woman and said, make me a cake first. And she did, and they provided, God provided for him. The barrel never went empty. The oil never went dry because my God made a way, right? The altar, he went up against 400 prophets of Baal. You all know the story, right? He said, you all think your God's real? I know my God's real. Let's have a little contest, right? You all take a bull. You make an altar. I'll take a bull. I'll make an altar. You sacrifice your bull on your altar. I'll sacrifice my bull on my altar. And we'll see whose God sets it on fire. We'll see whose God consumes it and receives our offering. Don't put a fire to it yourself. Allow God to do that. If your God's real, if he's the real deal, you allow him to consume the offering. So they went out there and they had 400 prophets and they did it and they screamed and they yelled. They cut themselves. They called to him. And Elijah mocked him. He said, maybe you better scream louder. Maybe your God's asleep. And this went on and on, and nothing happened. So Elijah made his altar out of wood, and he had him to take these pots three different times. I'd heard it as barrels before, but in the King James, I believe it used the word pots. But he said, go get these, and he dug a trench around his altar, and he had him dump water over it. He said, that's not good enough. Go get some more water and put it on there again. That's not good enough. Do it again. Three times. So the water ran off the bull and the wood out into the trenches and filled the trenches up that he dug around there. Have y'all ever started trying to start a fire with wet wood? I don't know if you've ever burned an animal that's just been freshly killed either. But it takes a lot of heat and a lot of dry, good dry wood with a hot fire to burn that. How hot, you ask? Let's read this. 1 Kings 18 and 38 says this. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. That'd be good enough right there if we just read that part, right? But read on. And the wood, which was wet, and the stones. You get that right there? You understand that? We make fire pits out of rocks. This fire was so hot it consumed the stone around it. The 12 stones that he'd put there. Represents the tribes. Now check this out. And the dust. Even burned up the dirt. I don't know what kind of heat it takes to burn dirt, but I've had some hot fires at my place, and we don't have any holes in the ground from them. God made a way. My God made a way and licked up the water that was in the trench. I would imagine that the water had to be boiling at some time if it got that hot to burn stones up and dirt up and all those things that we don't normally think of as even being flammable. Elisha was surrounded by an army of angels because my God made a way. It looked bad. Adam and Eve, you all know that story, right? Elijah, they looked out and they had an army surrounding them that was coming to get them, a whole army for two men, him and his servant. And he said, he looked out there and Elisha saw the angels and he said, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he might see this. Can you imagine how much better they felt when they could see that army of angels out there surrounding the natural army? It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. God provided them for them. God made a way. No matter what the situation looks like, God made a way. He gave them food. He gave them water. All the food that they could want. The animals, I believe that the animals obeyed Adam and Eve. Why do you think God had him name them? God gave him authority. Everything worked perfectly back then. Think about it. Think about that. And yes, even Job. You might think, what's good about Job? He went through a lot of things. Remember what God said to the devil? He said, you can test him, but you can't take him. You can't take his life. God made a way still for Job to even be here. And then what happened after he endured the temptations? Even his wife said, curse God and die, Job. You all know the story, but what happened after all that? After all that, God doubled everything that he ever had. Because God made a way. There was a test, but God made a way. David faced a lion and a bear, right? Killed him with his bare hands. It says he tore him. Can you imagine that right there? That's not natural human power to be able to take a lion that comes and attacks you and just rip him apart. Or a bear that attacks you and just rip him apart. Think about that. He faced a giant. He was a teenager and faced a 10-foot-tall, battle-hardened soldier with weapons. And he had a slingshot. Yet if you read that verse right there, it says that stone sank into Goliath's head. I've had a wrist rocket when I was a boy, and I can imagine they're better than what they had a few thousand years ago. And I've shot animals with it. And the stone fell off. Never sink into the head of the animal. Never sink into any. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Right? Because God made a way. It was supernatural. The Holy Ghost got a hold of that stone and flung it in there. Right? He faced Saul. Saul chased after him and tried to kill him. But God always made a way. God put Saul into David's hands. He always made a way. He was a mighty man of war. David, I'm talking about. Can you imagine being in a battle? You don't survive that many battles because of your natural ability. I don't care how tough you are, how smart you are, right? What your skill set is, if you're in the heart of that many battles, things happen. Because God made a way. He had his hand on David because David was a man after God's own heart. Even Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin because God made a way for him to be perfect, not to be born with a sinful nature. He was born of a virgin. One thing that this brought to my mind when I was thinking about how many times God's made a way in the Bible is, think about when Jesus was in the midst of a crowd and he said some things they didn't like and he slipped out through the crowd. Think that was supernatural? I could try to slip out of here today amongst you all, but somebody's probably going to get a hold of me. He slipped out through probably a much bigger crowd than this because my God made a way. It wasn't his time yet to die. It wasn't his time yet. He made a way for him to escape that day so that he could die on a cross for our sins, right? That we could be reconciled back to God. He was making a way with his son for us to be reconciled, for us to have a relationship with God because he longs to have that relationship, for us to be forgiven, right? For us to have the Spirit to indwell inside of us. For us to be able to be baptized with the Spirit, right? Because God made a way. For us to have authority, because Adam and Eve sinned it away. For us to be healed, for us to have peace, for us to have joy. Y'all get the picture, right? My God made a way. My God made a way. Still the same God I serve today. These stories are Old Testament, but Jesus was the New Testament, but still the same God I serve today. Personally, the way that I was called to preach and all the confirmations that I had, he made a way for me to be here on this day, right? He saved me. He broke addictions out of my life. He did it. Things I'd tried to do on my own before and I never could make it. I failed. Tens or hundreds of times maybe. And he did it. There were still temptations, there were still tests I had to go through, but he made a way. My God made a way for me, right? He gave me the perfect wife. And I mean that. I mean that. How many women could do what she does? How many women could be a pastor's wife? Sister Kendall can be. But that's a rare breed is what I'm getting at. You don't come across that every day. It doesn't happen all the time. Not everyone's cut out for that. Not everyone says the right things. Not everyone keeps their husband in line and does all the things she does to help us to look better. Right? He made a way. He did that. That wasn't me. He did that, right? He called me to be a pastor of this church even though I was an exhorter. That goes against our bylaws. That's not supposed to happen, but God made a way. He put people in the church. He put money in the church. You all are sitting here today because of God, not because of me. Because I don't have the talent or the ability to hold anybody here. It's all God. It's his Spirit. Because his Spirit moves is why you all come back. Because he made a way. He called us into this church and he set everything in place, right? We've learned recently, we thought this building belonged to the district. We've learned just recently that this building belongs to Grace Family Worship Center. Paid for. Bought and paid for. You know how much we gave for it? Zero. All we did was showed up. Right? All we did was showed up and God showed out. They say this building's worth about $300,000, but God made a way for Grace Family Worship Center to own this building. That's awesome. I mean, that's a great big God. That's a great big God. He made a way. If I went around the room today, I'm just bragging on my God today. I'm not bragging on me. If I went around the room today, each and every one of you could tell stories today. We could go on. We wouldn't have enough time to get them all in today of how God's made a way in our life, right? We need to testify to those things all the time, though. We need to remember those things all the time. When we testify, it brings remembrance to us. It also encourages others. It helps us keep our chin up, right? It helps others to realize that God's got this. God's made a way before, and God will do it again. Amen. He'll do it again. Too often, though, church, we get our way in the way of His way. Amen? We try to figure it out. We work it out. We do all these things, and then we wonder why it didn't work. Instead of going to Him first, right? Or we might go to God and we ask God to take control. We ask Him to be in control of our life. Be in control of everything, God. You take this thing. It's yours. I'm yours. And then we go and figure it out ourselves. Amen? Yes. Amen? That's what we do. He's always trying to lead us. He's always wanting to be in control of our life. It's not something new, right? We have to let Him, though. He gave us all the free will. He's not going to overstep your free will. You can ask Him. You can ask Him to have control. We can talk to Him about being in control. But until we give Him control, He's not going to take control. Does that make sense? We need to get our way out of His way. Amen. Right? We need to submit to Him. Submission is a decision. My God will make a way. But we have to submit to Him. We have to consciously decide that I'm going to submit to You, God. I know that Your ways are higher than my ways. I know that You already have a plan. I already know you know what's already going to happen anyway. So I've got enough sense today that I'm going to submit to You. You've given me that much sense, but I'm going to submit to You, God. Maybe there's something God wants to do in your life. Think about this. Maybe there's some way He wants to use you. I know personally, because God's revealed it to me, that there are some people in this church who are sitting on a calling. Maybe not a calling to preach, but they're sitting on a calling. Because they haven't submitted to God, that thing's stifled right now inside of them. Things probably aren't going well in your life, if I'm talking to you today. Because the Bible says the call is without repentance. It doesn't go away. You can hold it down. You can try to suppress it. But it's always there. Maybe He's got some direction He wants to move. He wants you to move, right? Submit to His will today. I urge you this. Submit to God's will today, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Maybe you haven't heard from God for a while. Think about that. God's speaking. The Spirit's leading. Maybe we've quenched the Spirit in our life. Maybe we've got our way in the way of His way so long. Did that make sense? We've got our way in the way of His way so long that He's gotten quiet. Right? Maybe we haven't heard about His plan or His will for our life so long. Maybe you're facing a mountain today. Matthew 6:33 says, seek Him first. Seek Him first. All these other things will be taken care of. Stop worrying about those things. We can speak to a mountain, but stop worrying about all those other things. Be subject to Him. Submit to Him today. He's a great and mighty and powerful God. And He loves you more than anything. He knows exactly what we need. He knows the end from the beginning and has the means to take care of all of it. Why in the world are we trying to figure it out? That makes no sense at all. None at all. If we could today, we'll close in prayer. If this message spoke to you today, and I hope it did, it spoke to me this week. If it spoke to you today, I pray that you would reconcile with God. Just humble yourself and come back to where He would have us to be. Be subject to this great and mighty and powerful God that I'm talking about today. He loves you. He loves all of us. Could go ahead and close. Daddy, we thank You for this day, Lord. We love You, Father. Lord, we just praise Your mighty name, Father. I pray that You would have Your way in our lives, Father. God, Lord, please continue to soften our hearts, Lord, our minds, Daddy. Lord, cause Your words to fall on the good, rich, deep soil, Father God. Lord, I pray that You would set a fire in this church, Lord, that we can't contain, Lord. One that sweeps across this church, Lord, out into our communities, Lord, and into our families, Father God. And people see our zeal, Lord. People see that You've made the way for us, Father God. They see us as a blessed people, Father God. We thank You for these things, Daddy. We praise You, Father God. Lord, I pray that You would keep us safe. Bring us back here again at our next appointed time, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.